Perhaps you noticed in that reading that when Jesus gives his agenda to the four disciples he called in this passage, he makes his agenda very, very clear right from the beginning. And it's an agenda that we might not expect to hear from Jesus, at least not as the first thing he would tell his would-be followers. You might expect Jesus to say, "Follow me, and I will make you more spiritual. Follow me, and I will make you more successful. Follow me, and you will be more holy. Follow me, and you'll be smarter. Follow me, and you'll be a better husband." But Jesus doesn't say any of these things. He gives those four men, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, he gives those four men a very different agenda to follow. And the reason this is so important for us to track here today is because as I survey the New Testament, I see no reason to regard Jesus' agenda for these men as not being our agenda. What Jesus wanted for Peter, Andrew, James, and John nearly 2,000 years ago, this is what he wants for you and I today. And the agenda, admittedly, isn't what we'd expect. Jesus says, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." In response to this, we're told that all four men immediately dropped what they were doing, and they followed Jesus. In the case of James and John, the text says, immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. What, have they known Jesus for 10, 20 minutes at this point? 10, 20 minutes into meeting this Jesus, they leave their boat, they leave their father on the beach, they leave behind the family business that Zebedee had worked so hard on. What's going on? Well, this morning I want us to also look at the parallel passage of this account in the Gospel of Luke, because Matthew is a shorter version that Luke gives us, and Luke fills in some details that will help us to better understand why these four men dropped everything to follow Jesus. Because I don't think these four men knew exactly what Jesus meant when he said, "I will make you fishers of men." But what we can see clearly in this passage is that Jesus' goal for your life is not that you'll be more spiritual, that it's not primarily that you'll be smarter, that you'll be a better spouse or a better parent. But we see a very different agenda, that his goal, Jesus' goal for your life, is to make you a fisher of men and women. Now, if you're a Christian and you think back to the day when you first believed in Jesus Christ, and if we're honest with ourselves, I think you'll admit that this agenda did not enter into the equation for you. That if there was a day when you said, "Yes, Jesus, you are my Savior. Yes, Jesus, you are my Lord, and I will follow you," I doubt very much that the agenda Jesus gave to these four men were the things that you were thinking about. I have to admit, it wasn't even on my radar screen. When I became a Christian, I remember very distinctly, I was a pre-teenager at Muskoka Woods, and I remember the counselors would present the gospel in a very clear manner. And it was that if we followed Jesus, if we regarded him as the Son of God, that his righteousness would be our righteousness before God, that his death paid the penalty for my sin so that if I believed in him, I would have everlasting life. But if I rejected Jesus, if I denied that he was the Son of God, if I denied that he was my Savior from sin, then there is a place called hell where the fury and wrath of God would be unleashed upon those who did not have forgiveness for their sins. And so I remember when I became a Christian, it had nothing to do with fishing for men. It was a very self-serving thing for me. I wanted to become a Christian because I didn't want to go to hell. I became a Christian because I wanted to experience this thing called heaven. Maybe this was different for you. Maybe you became a Christian because you simply thought being a Christian would make me a better person. Or you thought becoming a Christian might help my marriage. Or becoming a follower of Jesus would fill a void in my life. Or becoming a Christian would mend something. I doubt very much that any of us said, well, I signed up to be a Christian because I wanted to fish for men and women. And yet Jesus couldn't be more direct in giving us his agenda. He tells us that to follow is to fish. And that once we begin following, the thing where he's going to lead us is to other people. That we're going to be fishing so that others become followers as well. And I guess what I don't want any of us to miss this morning more than anything else is that if we're a follower of Jesus, then we are, by virtue of that, fishers of men. That the two go together. You cannot say I'm a follower and not a fisherman. The two go together according to Jesus. I want to jump to Luke's account, and you're free to follow along in your pew Bible because I won't give you every single detail of the story, but I'll give you the highlight reel, if you will. What happens in Luke's gospel is that there's a crowd of people following Jesus around, and he's teaching. And Jesus sees these men along the water's edge, and evidently they'd been fishing for a while, and they're repairing their nets, they're mending their nets. And Jesus, and it doesn't exactly say how this happens, but he gets in Peter's boat. And I'm trying to imagine the scene where Peter's working hard at mending a net, and the next thing he turns around and there's somebody getting in his boat. And it's Jesus, and Jesus continues to teach while he's standing or sitting in Peter's boat. Then he asks Peter, well, let's move away from the water's edge. Let's push off from shore. Let's go fishing. Let's get out to a point where we can drop our nets again. Now, I want us to think a little bit about what might have been going through Peter's mind, Andrew's mind, James and John. These were fishermen. This is what they did for a living. They were experts in their trade. And evidently they had been fishing all night into the early hours of the morning, and they hadn't caught anything. Then some stranger gets into their boat. Turns out he's not a fisherman, but he's a carpenter's son. And he wants the nets to go down in the middle of the day. So these men are fishing at the time when you would expect to catch fish. Along comes a carpenter's son, a stranger, tells them to go fishing in the middle of the day when you're not expected to catch any fish. But God bless Peter. He complies with Jesus' request. They drop their nets, and do you remember what happens? The catch of fish is so massive that it begins to break their fishing nets. And if that wasn't enough of a word picture for us, we're told that the boats actually began to sink. How many fish would it take to sink this fishing boat? And yet it was a massive, massive catch. It wasn't long after that when Jesus said, come, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. And so the reality is they probably followed, and it didn't have anything to do with what he said, but they followed more than likely because of what Jesus did. They saw this stranger get into a boat, instruct them in such a way, and provide for them in such a way that was nothing short of miraculous. So Jesus says, come and follow. And I almost wonder if Zebedee, the father of James and John, at this point is saying, go with him. Go with him. We can't do this like he can. Go with this man. They leave everything and they follow Jesus. And eventually they learn that this isn't about them. Eventually they learned that they were being called to something bigger than themselves. Eventually these men learned that to follow meant they had to fish. And so I want to bring to our attention this morning that if Jesus has called you, and if you have received him, we can probably admit that when we received him, it was because we imagined Jesus could do something for us. We received Jesus because we imagined he could improve us, or mend something, or provide something for us. But here we learn in the text that Jesus' pattern, Jesus' agenda, is to make us fishermen. It's to equip us. It's to position us to be in a place where we can make a difference in the lives of other people. A difference that will matter for eternity. Something bigger than ourselves. Jesus didn't simply call us to make us better people. Although hopefully we are better because of Jesus' relationship with us. Jesus didn't simply call us to fill a void in our life, though certainly he does that. Jesus called us to fish. And as such, I expect that he has positioned you in the lives of certain individuals to make a difference that will last for eternity. Now, I want to address your objections, because, by the way, I'm a mind reader, and I can read your mind, and so I just want to volley out. We can make a TV show out of this if I'm right, because some of you are thinking, well, I don't have enough information, Bryn. You're a preacher. It's easy for you to say, go fish for people, because you have an assortment of theological training that allows you to convey information. But I lack this information. That's what some of you are thinking. Others are thinking, well, Bryn, I'm new at this. I'm like at the just agreed to follow bit. And what you're telling me is news. Why don't you come back in a couple months with this series? Because I'm just too inexperienced at this point to be fishing for other people. Perhaps there are others who are thinking, well, the excuse was good enough for Moses, so I'm going to use it. I'm not very good with words. I like to communicate my love and affection for Jesus by the way I live. And since I'm not very good with words, I'm going to leave that to the preachers and the evangelists and the trained professionals. I'm just not very good at speaking. Now, I've come across some people who would say, well, I'm just too young. I'm not simply young in the faith, but I'm too young of a person to be sharing my faith in Christ. And then there might be others on the other extreme who think they're too old, that they're beyond the point of making a profound influence in the lives of others. Friends, I don't doubt that many of you are thinking that there are a multitude of reasons why you wouldn't or couldn't or shouldn't share your faith in Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. It doesn't say in this passage, Jesus doesn't say in this account, that the minute we believe, the minute we agree to follow, we'll be adept at fishing for people. I take great comfort in the absence of that statement. Nowhere does it say, instantly when you believe upon Jesus Christ, you will be an incredible fisher of people. What does Jesus say? He says, follow me, and I will make you. I will make you fishers of people. So we're thinking, I am not this, I am not that, I am not qualified, I'm not experienced, I'm not. And Jesus says, that's okay. I'm not calling you because you are. I'm actually calling you because you're not. And I'm going to make you something that you previously weren't. You were a fish, but now you've received me. And I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Some of you know that I took up fishing about 4 years ago. And for clarity's sake, I'm talking about actual fishing here. I'm not talking about fishing for people. I took up fishing 4 years ago. And there are a couple things I've noticed about me and fishing. And one is that the more I fish, the better I get. The more I fish, the more comfortable I am. For the longest time, I couldn't even tie that little line in that special knot. You know, I would be tying my lure on, and I would cast the lure, and bye-bye lure. You just became untied, and you're in the middle of my lake somewhere, and I hope I don't step on you. I wasn't very good. I wasn't very comfortable. But as in most things in life, the more you do something, the better you get. And so the more I fished, the better I got at fishing. And the other thing that was my pattern as a want-to-be fisherman is that I would surround myself with experienced fishermen. I would go out in a boat in the middle of a lake or the middle of an ocean, and I would be with individuals who were experts, who were seasoned fishermen. And being with them, they made me a better fisherman through their instruction, through their example, through their guidance, through their patience. I'm a better fisherman because of them. And so I want us to recognize that even if being a fisher of people, if you hear that and you think, oh, Bryn, that's just way beyond me, that's okay for this very moment. But know that if you live in close proximity to the great fisherman, if you live in close proximity to Jesus Christ, he will help you to fish. He will make you a fisher of people. Because to follow him is to fish. Now, I don't want to pretend to know where each of you is at in terms of your relationship with Christ, in terms of your comfortableness at sharing your faith in him. But if you do consider yourself a committed Christian, if you consider yourself a convinced Christian, I want you to think back with me, and I want you to think of that person who helped lead you to faith in Jesus Christ. And if you're thinking back and you're thinking, well, I was really, really young. I was like 5 or 6, or you were really young. Think then of the person in your teenage years or your young adult years who helped bring you back. Think of that person who communicated Jesus to you in such a way that it cemented your relationship with him. Now, I realize it's ultimately the message of the gospel that transforms our lives, but I think as Christians we'll admit that there is also a person that God used. And God used a person with a specific story, a person with a specific personality, and God made an intersection between where we were at and where our spiritual needs were. And there is an intersection between our context, the gospel of Christ, and that particular person. For me, it's easy to identify the person. He's not known to you, but his name is Ken Harper. And Ken Harper had a bratty 11-year-old boy in his cabin at Muskoka Woods. And Bryn McPhail at Bible studies in Beechwood was a disturber. And some of you would preface the word disturber with another word, but I'm not going to do that. But I was one who disrupted the Bible study. I was one who was antagonistic towards the gospel. I rejected it. But the thing is, I kept going back to this camp. And I kept interacting with this young man named Ken Harper. And patiently he communicated the gospel to me time and time again. And congruent with his message was a life that matched what he was saying. He was not simply talking the talk to me, but he was walking the walk to me. He fished for me. He understood that to follow Jesus was to fish for bratty little kids like Bryn McPhail. I'm so grateful that Ken Harper understood that to follow was to fish. Because Ken Harper was used by God to change my life's trajectory forever. And I know my story's not unique. I know it's not unique, and I am confident that every follower of Jesus has been positioned in other people's lives to make a difference for eternity. There is someone who God wants you to give the message to and to lead the life in front of, and God has positioned you to make an impact. But there's a way to sleep through that. There's a way to miss that. There's a way to disregard that. If we think about the I am not this and I am not that. If we don't remember that Jesus makes us fishermen. And that to follow him is to fish. And we're not going to be fishers of multitudes. We probably won't even be fishers of dozens. But God might have designed for you to fish for your neighbor down the street. He might have designed for you to fish for someone at your club. He might have designed for you to fish for someone in your workplace, maybe a client. God has positioned you to fish for people. Now, I need to be open to the possibility that there are some here today, maybe a few people here today, that are not convinced Christians, that you're here because you're checking this out. You're here because you want to taste and see, you want to test drive Christianity. And so you're not yet convinced. And if that describes you this morning, you're probably thinking, boy, I picked a terrible Sunday to come to church. Because this is the thing that makes me uncomfortable with Christianity. This whole idea that Christians ought to be out fishing for other people. Why can't we just leave people alone in this postmodern culture? Why can't we leave people to believe whatever it is they want, whatever makes them happy, whatever feels right, whatever is true for them? Why do Christians have to go fishing for people all the time? If that's a question you're asking this morning, then I beg you to come back next Sunday. Because in greater detail, I want to answer the question, why fish? Why fish? But I can answer that question in part this morning. I fish. I share the message of Jesus with others. I fish because somebody fished for me. And somebody fished for me because they cared. Because it mattered to them what I believed. It mattered to them that I would have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Every single Christian was a fish once. Every single Christian was a fish once, but somebody cared enough for us that they went fishing for us, and it changed our life forever. I'm so grateful. I will be forever grateful that Ken Harper fished for me. And I hope that you are thinking of those individuals who made that life-changing impact upon you, and I hope that you're giving thanks that someone fished for you. And that inspires you to fish for others. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus made his agenda very, very clear to four men on a beach. And the agenda still applies to us. To follow Jesus means we fish for people. And we fish for people because, like Jesus, we care a great deal. That these fish matter very much to us. I pray that you will draw close to Jesus Christ, and that as you're in close proximity to him, he will make you a fisher of men. Amen.